Okay, friends, hi. We are continuing with our Egoic Lotus webinar book. We're on program number 31. We have been working with the introduction to a second look at the petals in A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. And we are on page 822. Now the colors of the petals are going to be at least mentioned. I don't think they're very much discussed. And another statement made about what is to be achieved in these various petals. It can be later compared with what is stated around page 539 of the same book. We will simply forge ahead with this, and when we bring it all together, try to make sense of the many strands. We remember that the Agnishvatas of particular kinds were each responsible for a particular tier, and when more subdivided, for a particular petal. And the great lords called Buddhas, Buddhas of activity, we're familiar with that one, Buddhas of love and compassion, and Buddhas of sacrifice were streaming their energy through these Agnishvatas, who were substanding the petals, forming them, holding them in configuration, and essentially being, in a sense, the essence of the egoic lotus. Yes, it strikes me there are different kinds of solar angels or Agnishvatas involved with the egoic lotus. They are a hierarchy, it has to be understood. They are differentially evolved. And some of them have management, let us say, over one petal. Some may be over an entire tier. Some over the entire egoic lotus. And this has to be reconciled with the idea that the solar angel per se projects an aspect of itself into the egoic lotus, substands the egoic lotus. It has a life apart from the egoic lotus and also a life within, having pervaded the entire universe of the egoic lotus with a fragment of myself. I remain. Okay. So now we are ready to, continue. And let us see where we are. Right. Beginning with Egoic Lotus Program 31. And we're in Cosmic Fire, page 822. So we will work with these progressively. And we have what's called here the Outer Knowledge Triad. It is in the color orange. And orange is the one color which consistently is found in every color of the, every petal of the egoic lotus. Orange is, in a way, representative of the sun. When Blavatsky gives us the note of the scale D that is connected with the sun, she gives us the color orange. And also it's connected with the fifth ray of Venus. So we remember that this type of knowledge has been called active wisdom. There was active wisdom, active love, and active will. These were the kinds of Agnishvatic lords that were substanding the egoic lotus. Active wisdom, and operates progressively in relation to the three lower worlds. Of course, once the knowledge of the lower worlds is translated into the soul, it does become wisdom, because the wisdom is of the second aspect. So that which is stored in the egoic lotus is at least on its way to wisdom, we might say. So it operates progressively in relation to the three lower worlds, but not in relation to the subjective self. Is it possible to have wisdom in the three lower worlds? Well, wisdom in the ways of the world, anyway. But there is a reason why we're not hearing the word active knowledge, we're hearing active wisdom, and I suppose it has something to do with the nature of the Agnishvatas themselves, who certainly by their stage of evolution are lords of wisdom. So the relationship with the higher of the pairs of opposites, and not just the personal pair, would begin with processes going on in the love petal. So petal one, it calls sits simply knowledge on the physical plane. The petal expresses itself particularly in relation to the outer, five outer senses, and this is the also the material which the concrete mind uses to form its thoughts. I mean, there is much thinking that goes on in this outer knowledge tier, but the substance, the data that is processed, is largely from the sensory world. The data processed is largely from the sensory world, and especially in this first petal, where mind is, well, the most dim. Of course, it lasts so many millions of years that there has to be some mind by the end of its unfoldment. And the man is working ahead in experiences that relate to the other petals, you know. I tried to introduce an idea that I call the three-petal process, meaning that there is work being done across three petals. Man emerges from a state of total unconsciousness of himself as a distinct unit, and this can last some 3 million years, according to the Tibetan, when he compares the shooting forth of the arrows of the Son of Mind at 21 million years and the awakening of the man to himself at 18 million years ago. And the man begins at great cost to acquire knowledge on the physical plane. The colors are orange, green, and violet. So the presence of these colors in this lowest of all the petals suggests the following. Orange signifying the early development of the concrete mind. Within the egoic lotus, orange is the constant color, a constituent in every one of the nine petals. And when we talk about mind, we have to think of Venus, because the implantation of the spark of mind was an event which occurred under the Venusian stimulation. And when we think of those groups which had only the mental unit fanned into a sufficient blaze to cause individualization, but did not experience the implantation of the spark of mind, we can also think of Venus as well. Venus is a son of mind. Venus is intellect. Venus is mind, but mind and love later. Green suggests the third ray, and the activity of active intelligence within natural surroundings. Early man is active and is rapidly learning about relationships within his active, within his outer environment, and this facilitated through his activity. So it green always suggests, well, at least initially suggests, closeness to nature. Initially suggests closeness to nature and the third aspect of divinity. Then we have violet. Violet, the color of the seventh ray, suggests the rhythms of the dense physical plane to which early man is subject. The repetitive rhythms of early traditional society, and I would say first the instinctual rhythms, and then the repetitive rhythms of early traditional society. And we have to remember that by the time later Lemuria was reached, there was civilization. And the solar angels looked in upon that civilization and decided that their intervention had been successful. Of course, they didn't really have to look in upon those units for whom they had, in whom they had not implanted themselves, because that was not their experiment. They simply intensified the natural method of individualization. But I would like to say that whether the method by which we were individualized was the natural method of the upward striving of the animal man and the reciprocal response of spirit, or whether it was through implantation. We have to be careful about that word because it seems to make, you know, mean so much to paranoid people today, but implantation of the spark of mind, it is still possible for a solar angel to associate itself with an individual who was individualized in any manner. So, because the earlier method of individualization and early progress was not necessarily under solar angelic supervision, does not mean that the solar angel cannot interpose itself or ally itself, affiliate itself, immerse itself in man, and then be a guiding force. The ray line here is 357, is entirely the hard line. There is no color for the first ray, even though this is the first petal, and maybe that's because, you know, we are in the second solar system. Maybe in the next solar system, if causal bodies look something like their present appearance, the color red will be prominently featured. But there is, you know, there is red in the life of the early man. There is red in the life of early man, and DK gives us the history of man in color and the savage red of rampant desire is definitely there. The earliest phase is red, followed by orange, followed by green, followed by rose and blue, and so forth. So red is part of the life, and later, when there is consummation of the egoic lotus, according to the man's ray, by the time of the consummation, the monadic ray is influential, and so is its subray, the ray of the causal body. So if there is the first ray in either one of those, apparently there will be a display of some red in the egoic lotus. Throughout the color scheme of the egoic lotus, we cannot find the red at this time. Can it be that the color blue is meant to take its place? There is a tabulation. Maybe I'll just have to find it because I've been talking about it so much. Within LOM, Letters on Occult Meditation, where blue represents the first ray and red the sixth, an apparent inversion, but perhaps not without reason. You know, I'm very tempted, you know, to go to Letters on Occult Meditation and see what we can find with red, blue, oh, green, violet, you know, is there nothing? Wait, something wrong? Red, blue. Oh, there's no violet spelled that way. I think we can find something here. Let's see. Well, I'm not finding the tabulation. So maybe I'm wrong about occult meditation. Red, blue, green, violet, and that's for all the books. Letters on Occult Meditation. And let's see. This is one division, but this one is accurate, at least in terms of how we consider accuracy. I'm not doing so well. Let's just try red and blue. There are 17 there, and that's quite a, it should be in a vertical, the activity system was green, the love system is blue, the power system will be red, in the relationship between the blue and red and violet lies still another mystery. Yes, there's some amazing things here. I don't think I'm going to be successful for some reason. And I don't know why. I don't know why. But I can assure you that it is the case. And that there is, I could go page by page, I think, through letters on occult meditation and find the reason why I am failing. Unless I did, I might try this and put down something like A, blue. Okay, and let's see if I try this. A, blue. Uh-huh. And there we have so much. Let's see, letters on occult meditation. Uh-huh. It's not going to give me the A. No. All right, well, then just take my word for it. It's reference unconfirmed, but it is there. And I have used it so many times. Well, it's often good not to give up, because here it is indeed, and it's hard to know. It's probably because it's a period after the word blue, you see. When the Logos uttered the great cosmic word for this solar system, three major streams of color issued forth, breaking almost simultaneously into another four, so giving us the seven streams of color by which manifestation became possible. So notice we have blue, green, and indigo. Blue in the position of the first ray. Yellow 4, orange 5, red 6, and violet 7. Not unwittingly have I placed them in this order, but the exact significance is left for you to discover. Now that's a good teacher, right? Leaving something for us. But perhaps in this second ray solar system, when blue appears, it does not have only the meaning of the sixth ray or the second ray. The early and the sixth ray related to Mars, of course, will give us the red. And that is a definite link. But when related to, when the first ray is related to blue, sometimes electric blue is considered to be a first ray color. But we have to figure this out, and I'm pretty sure it's because of the kind of solar system that we do have. This is related to the solar system and not to to our particular planet. So anyway, we found that. And I say, okay, reference confirmed, RC. You know the old story. When you've lost that reference, reference RI, reference invented, RI, reference imagined, RL, reference lost, RC, reference confirmed. There are some others of a humorous nature. But you know how it is when references evade you, and we do not necessarily, well, we don't have the capacity the master has to see these things. So we have to trust him. Violet, however, is related to the first ray. I'm getting back to the first petal. And the seventh ray is the concrete expression of the first ray. So that will give us some link. Because it's a blend of the red and blue, you know. And both can be used, we are seeing, for the first ray. So violet is a blend of red and blue, at least in pigment, and both red and blue can be used to indicate the first ray. Especially red. All right, this is meant to give us some sort of sense of why the one who designed these egoic lotuses, why it is that the colors are apportioned in the way they are. It has to have some basis for the kinds of experiences which will be passed through when working in the particular phase of evolutionary life that pertains to that petal. Okay. Now we go on. Petal 2. We're using sort of the six-ray color rose here. Love on the physical plane. This petal represents the gradual unfoldment of the astral body. I think one of the places we should be, here it is. Let's go to 822. And, all right, the outer triad petal. Okay, I see. I see. We're not going to talk so much about the. Yeah, there may not be very elaborate statements, but let's just say knowledge on the physical plane, and then we're just going to talk about love on the physical plane. It's as simple as that. And this is this represents desire, love on the physical plane. Love on the physical plane relates to desire. It is love in form, but as we have been told, it is beyond instinct per se, beyond strictly sex instinct. So the petal represents the gradual unfoldment of the astral body. It is, we called it the Atlantean petal and the previous petal the Lemurian. And the love here found expresses itself as desire and emotion, but not as love per se, certainly not as love detached from form, not as love detached from form, because we are in the petals of knowledge for the physical plane, and our consciousness consists, of what do the contents of consciousness consist? If mostly of the representation of physical objects, then it is a very physicalized consciousness. So, you can look at your own contents of consciousness and you say, well, it's certainly not consisting in the majority of strictly physical objects. You have all kinds of astral, mental, and higher impressions within the contents of consciousness, but that would not be so for the early type of individual. So it's not as love per se, not as soul love, but it does contribute, we have been told, to an elevation. It does contribute to a growing degree of impersonal, interpersonal harmony, not impersonal. We're very far from that. When you look at another human being at this stage, what you see is what you get. This, the human being is the physical form. And even if the astral world is involved, it's the astral world reflecting the physical form. For many, the astral world is a very physicalized place. You sometimes think of the heaven that is imagined, the paradise that is imagined by people who long to be on the astral plane. It's a very physicalized kind of environment, with a real reflection of what we find here on the physical plane, and, of course, an augmentation and an idealization of what we find on the physical plane, but still the forms are physicalized. We are not dealing with abstract currents of feeling at all. All right, now, the colors are orange, that's consistent, rose, and blue. So the presence of these colors suggests the following. The continuing growth of the concrete mind, and orange, even though the physical nature and emotional nature are still overwhelmingly the more powerful. Mind is still definitely applied to very concrete experiences. Even the Aboriginals of Australia, it can be inferred, have something of the second petal in process of development, or they could not produce the art as they do. Remember, we're told in Education in the New Age, on that same page where we find the discussion of genius, that when two petals are open, that the art, something creative which expresses the higher self or soul, can begin to come through. I mean, this is such a specialized area of study. Not only the general dynamics and sort of physiology of the egoic lotus, but the kind of outer forms, cultures, and civilizations to which lotuses of different kinds attach themselves, or which lotuses of different kinds represent. So, you know, it would be fascinating to take the to take different groups on the planet, different cultures, different different racial groups, cultural groups, ethnic groups, and see if there were different aspects in common in the egoic lotus. This would really be the study of internal man. And the day will come, of course, when it's going to be possible. But, you know, so many things are possible. The question is, what is needed? Some amazing artwork is done by the Aboriginals of Australia. And remember, of course, that high souls can go into groups which are apparently less advanced to teach and to help and for their own, due to their own karmic relations. Rose suggests that within the astral body, a form of love is expressing itself. The persistent self-love, very Leonian in a way, primitive Leonian, characterizing petal one, gives way to increasing love of others, we're told. As a matter of fact, maybe the best way to be able to switch back and forth would be to go to a treatise on white magic, and we just start at 5:39, and the gradual growth from love of self to love of others. Here it is, right before 5:40. So we do want to continue to relate what was said before to what is being said now. That is how the light grows. If we leave everything that is said in isolation in its own section, we don't get the arcing of the light, that aha that comes when different points are related, and then we will not have our lighted sphere of knowledge if we don't relate. And this, of course, is the work of Mercury. So rose indicates a more delicate vibration within the astral body. In the beginning, it's really red. And Leadbeater has given us some drawings of people in an angry state or even a fairly primitive state, and it is the astral body is filled with red of the Mars and sixth ray. The astral body of one who is entirely savage is, we are told, shot through with red. Then blue. In this instance, we may imagine that blue is the color of the sixth ray, although the shade of blue is not specified. You know, we're told that as the blue ray fades out, the blue flowers will also fade out, and the violet colors of the seventh ray will come in. So no question that blue is related to the sixth ray, although not exclusively. And it can represent an elevation of astral sensitivity and a raising of the quality of desire, perhaps more towards the second ray. Blue may be considered a color of aspiration, though this blue is still deeply embedded in the form life. Blue would be then important emotionally in the Atlantean civilization. So we we find that many of the same colors are found in both higher and lower petals, and that their appearance and quality is more refined in the higher than in the lower petals, even though the color is the same. And also, D.K. hinted at this. The intensity of the color varies from tier to tier. So, for instance, whatever yellow there would be in the first tier.
First tier. No, that's not going to work.
First tier or second tier would be less intense than the yellow found in the third tier. So, you know, there's just going to be an amazing study of color dynamics for true students of the processes of the egoic lotus. It's going to be an amazing sort of fifth ray, fourth ray study. Second ray, of course, because it is the second aspect. And we will have data at our disposal, which is just so much more than what we have now. And we'll really begin to understand what makes the human being as it is. Now here, the yellow is brought out for petal three. I guess it's, this is used deliberately. This was being prepared by my friend who is very color conscious. So, and then I would go and I would work on, let's see, what have I got here? Okay. All right. And I'm just trying to keep these colors consistent. I'm a bit of a color-conscious person myself. At least I was when I was a young person. How to mix the colors was always my big, big question. And, but I stopped because, the colors tended to run together, and I didn't like that. So that was problematic. Maybe I should have used colored pencils or some other kind of medium where the running of colors together was not so problematic. So the next one is the petal of sacrifice on the physical plane. You know, we'll just take a look at it. It's the third, and the orange is there, and also the yellow, but not very intense. It is a sacrificial petal. Wherever you find yellow, the factor of sacrifice will be involved, and then the synthetic indigo. Since every one of the third petals is a petal of synthesis, the three, the six, the nine, they all, and they're the only ones that carry this indigo. All right, so the human being is forced to pass through sacrifices. D.K. doesn't say much. Sacrifice on the physical plane. Over here, he says a lot more. The unfoldment is brought about through the driving force of circumstances, and not of free will. Nobody is sacrificing voluntarily here. One just has to, made to. It is the offering up of the physical body, which these petals correlate with, upon the altar of desire. Low desire to begin with, maybe in the earlier part of these petal processes, but because one works ahead, you know. One is working in several different areas of experience simultaneously. Low desire to begin with, but aspiration towards the end, though still desire. And the body suffers, physical body suffers because of the intensity of that desire. I have experience with that. You know, I used to love to sing, and I so much wanted to sing that I would beat my voice up. The desire to sing, the aspiration to sing was so great
that I failed to have respect for the limitations of the physical nature until one day I really got laryngitis and I really understood the punishment to which I was subjecting my vocal apparatus. But the desire was so great, probably the carryover, you know, some kind of operatic past in the earlier days of recapitulation, that being born with a voice that was strong but wouldn't take that kind of punishment, there was a sacrifice of the vocal apparatus. And, you know, one learns that karma works out so much in the physical apparatus. So low desire to begin with, but aspiration towards the end, though still desire. As man in the early stages of his evolution is polarized on the physical, much of this is undergone unconsciously. He doesn't really see within or understand any deeper reasons for what is happening. I can't say that entirely. I mean, you know, there are people who understand that the sacrifice simply must be made. Because if it isn't, the country will go down, the family will go down, there's so many things you just have to do, or something that you prize will go down. It's polarized on the physical, and much of this is undergone unconsciously and without any realization of what is being consummated. But the result in the causal body is seen as a twofold increase of heat or activity. I'm just remembering, you know, there was some of these stories about the Russian war, and how the soldiers were just made to fight. They had no choice. If they ran back, their own men would kill them. And if they went forward, they didn't have enough weapons. One gun shared between two, you know. The idea was when your partner is killed, take the gun. Or if you're killed, well, the partner just has the gun. So we can be put into situations that are really between a rock and a hard place, and there's no way out. I guess we call this servitude. So the force, participation in war, the necessity of making a living under difficult circumstances are two examples, the orange, the yellow, and the indigo. How can we interpret this? Well, the details concerning these petals is dealt with in the commentary for the semester 5, section 9. Well, when I used to do this in terms of writing out the Cosmic Fire commentaries. And in a forthcoming comprehensive book on the subject. Well, this is it. This is our comprehensive book on the subject. I guess I've been liberated from the pen. I don't know whether that's good or bad, but it certainly makes for a freer type of association, and the ability to bring forward thoughts that otherwise simply would be lost because of their multitude. So orange is becoming really more intense here. You know, just because a color appears in a particular petal does not mean it appears in the same intensity. This is a knowledge petal, and the fifth ray is orange, Venus. So more intense as the concrete mind takes on a definite focus in petal three. Just imagine you see the same color, but at different degrees of radiance and intensity. That's something that can't really be put down such a diagram as this. The color looks all the same, but in the living light, the intensity of the color would vary. So it must be an amazing sight, as DK tells us. The human being is becoming definitely intelligent. Intelligent primary lotuses have the third petal unfolding, though the second is dormant and even shut. And also the first petal. That's not it. First petal is unfolding. Because perhaps they're not quite as used to earthy physical plane living as are those who are either individualized right here on Earth, because they are not individualized on Earth. They didn't come in until the fifth root race. They didn't come in Atlantean times, and I don't think they were here in Lemurian times. The yellow emphasizes the growing mentality, but also the sacrifice which a human being is called upon to make, though it is largely an unconscious sacrifice. Yellow, linked to red, first aspect, produces the orange, by means of which individualization occurs. Now, I don't know whether I'm really working in the realm of light, per se. I'm probably thinking in terms of pigment. If you really want to talk about color, then talk to my colleague, Victoria Stone, who helped with the preparation of these things and has her own website on color and its esoteric meanings. So it is the, let us say, the first ray is forcing the sacrifice. It is, in a sense, a ray one petal, whereas the knowledge petal is ray three and the love petal is ray two. But yellow is the color somehow related to sacrifice. An old friend of mine used to play on the word and say, yell, ow, suffering, yellow. It also can be associated with other less desirable features like cowardice, you know, running away, and maybe some Mercurian people, since yellow is such a Mercurian color, do retreat and do not stand their ground. Indigo is the color of synthesis, and is found in the third petal of every series of three, as I pointed out. It may be thought to gather within itself all the qualities generated during the millions of years of evolution required to organize, vitalize, and unfold the first tier of petals. So the synthetic color indigo gathers all quality found in the tier. And indigo also suggests the esoteric color of the fifth ray, which is accentuated in this third and concrete-minded petal. So somehow knowledge on the physical plane, in relation to the physical plane, is synthesized in this indigo, which has the relation to the fifth ray, too. I was surprised when I saw that, but I really think I do understand. Venus has not only the connection with orange and with rose, but with the indigo. And when the Tibetan gave colors for the different signs of the zodiac, he gave Libra, which Venus rules, indigo. So it's a very important color in our solar system. And somehow the ability to see and use all that has been developed in the first tier is captured in that indigo. So there is the, you know, the quite luminous intelligence of the yellow. It's Mercury. In this third petal, there is the orange of Venus, but the yellow of Mercury, and DK often refers to the Mercury-Venus mind. It is a mental petal. And both of those planets can be used in relation to the concrete mind. There's nothing other than concrete mind in this third petal. But, you know, a larger purpose is at work, and indigo indicates the larger purpose. It seems to be appearing with yellow. So the larger... Oh, we're getting bounces here, and I know why. The larger purpose is at work. I have to be very careful, because if the computer is not turned off and started fresh, then the program that prevents the bouncing is fails to work. So the larger purpose is at work here, represented by indigo. And the purpose of and suffering, and the suffering of yellow, is not purposeful. When you put the two things together, purposeful suffering, you know, even if it is not, one is not conscious of it, purposeful suffering building towards the synthesis that man must become. All right. Well, you know, we're giving here a fairly light treatment. We had a much heavier treatment in the other work in Cosmic Fire, and then we'll bring this all together, because here the colors are pretty much on their own. There are a few things said here that are not related to color, and they are very important. Although the various colors in each petal function simultaneously, the sequence in which they are presented may be considered significant. It is, we may presume, largely a developmental sequence. So, you know, we are given here orange, always first, yellow, and then indigo. That's a proper sequence, because indigo is the final and synthetic color. When we go higher to the love petal, it is rose and then blue, suggesting a link here in blue between the second and sixth ray. Rose being more appropriate for the sixth ray precisely. And when DK assigned meditations for the astral body, he tended to use the color rose. And here, orange, green, the third ray of nature, of course, the outer plane and the dense physical body is ruled by the third ray. But what I want to say is violet connects to the seventh ray and the etheric body, and that's important. So violet connects, to the etheric body, which later in the process of this petal becomes an object of attention and a field. Have to be very careful here. Field of initiation. Yes, jumping cursor, you know. And the only way to avoid that is to turn the computer off and start again, which I may be able to do shortly. So let's see, there are a few more things before we get into the second circle. And maybe, if all goes well, I can stop this program before the second circle begins. So it is said then that these three petals are organized and vitalized in the hall of ignorance, but remain unopened and only begin to unfold as the second circle is organized. And this is an important statement, but, you know, it is problematic. You wonder, is the Lemurian really organizing the second tier petals when that first petal opens? I suppose there's differential organization sequentially of the second tier of petals. These kind of statements give the image of the developmental process of the petals. We must remember that the work of man is largely to organize the petals. That's the work of man, largely. Agencies other than the human provide for the unfoldment of the petals at least at a certain point, at least once the rod of initiation is applied, later on in the process. Later on in the process, I think I should, you know, put that in, that later on in the process, agencies other than the human provide for the unfoldment of the petals, but also human labor, you know, such as the ROI, rod of initiation, such as the rod of initiation. So it seems to me, you know, I always think of three petals involved, and maybe, can it be that the person who is working in this, who has an organized first petal, is now working in the fourth petal, which is the first of the second circle, when there is the unfoldment of the first petal. That does seem rather far ahead to be working, given what the meaning of the fourth petal. We have to understand what is really done, the kind of labor to develop the ability to express the kinds of skills that are associated with the petal is what it means to organize. It is a conscious effort. Sometimes DK gives, you know, a kind of sweeping comment, and later he becomes more specific about it. Like when he says, okay, you get off the fixed cross, you work on the cardinal cross. You get off the fixed cross at the third initiation, and you could assume that you begin working on the cardinal cross after that. And at some point he seems even to say that, but then he becomes more specific and talks about how the fourth initiation is not taken on any cross, and only at the fifth do you really mount the cardinal cross. So, but remain an open and only begin to unfold as the second circle is organized, but let us say, you know, certainly not completely organized. Work in the first part first. First part of the second circle. Now the jumping cursor will require treatment. Second circle. Okay. Because otherwise we're going to be just plagued by this. So the here is a little bit more that's being said. The act of organizing and preparing for unfoldment is the most important stage, and that with which the man is most concerned. The act of petal opening is of briefer duration and is produced by the pouring in of solar heat or fire, thus bringing a fresh access of energy. And we would say either from the second logos, very soon I have to get out of here, or from the solar angel logos, or from the solar, no, it's it's really causing trouble. I'm sorry that okay, let's see. Okay, yeah, either from the second logos, I have to be very careful, or from the solar angel. The ego takes no active interest in the development until the second petal of the second series is beginning to open. This we discussed. Before that time, the work proceeds under the law of its being through the inherent life of the second logos, which is the life of the petals of the logos, and thus the life of the informing Agnishvatas, and thus the life of the informing Agnishvatas. So the final opening is effected during the period of treading the stages of the path of initiation. In this round, it is hastened by the rites of initiation and by the strenuous and abnormal efforts of the man himself, aided by the electrical work of the initiator wielding the rod of power. We gather that the petals representing the Hall of Ignorance only unfold when a man is working in the Hall of Learning, but we must be cautious about that, because that would be, you know, that would be in a way kind of a four-petal process instead of a three. It is possible. But the what the man does, I think this is such an important statement from 869, that which the man is most concerned, organizing and preparing for unfoldment, is the most important stage, and that with which the man is most concerned. So in terms of our intensive labor, that's where we are working. Is there any work once the unfoldment continues or begins? I suppose there is, because not all aspects of the petal are unfolded. So we can be working ahead in areas of the pedal, so to speak, which require our attention while some unfoldment is occurring in areas which we have covered. Does organization precede vitalization, or is it the other way around? Well, we have decided that organization precedes vitalization. I want to write so little, the first. The sequence of words seems ever to be the same, organized, preceding vitalized. Perhaps in this natural building process, it does not serve nature to vitalize that which has not been properly organized. I think that's correct. Yet the act of organization itself requires at least a requisite degree of vitalization. But vitalization is preparation for unfoldment. So the opening of the petal suggests that the qualities represented are quite strongly expressing because they have been well prepared. And when the stages of organization and vitalization are active, the qualities and pertinent abilities are being built and are not yet fully formed and expressive. We can say that opening is about expressivity, is about strength. Oh, isn't that something? It's going to jump all over the place. And strength and expressivity. It comes all of a sudden. And it is a problem, the jumping cursor. Well, anyway, we have examined the first tier from the color angle and seen the perpetual presence of mind being orange. But that mind will not glow with the same intensity in the earliest petals as in later petals, because the fifth ray will continue to increase. We have seen that the sequence of the colors presented means something. And it's moving in this direction at this time. So rose is an intermediary color leading to blue, which is kind of a link between the second, sixth and second rays. It is that. Always we begin with the orange. And yellow, the suffering is justified by the purpose, which is related to the indigo. So we were in the direction, the way this is drawn, the way Tuya drew it, we have always the beginning point placed so that the direction of the turning of the tier is kept clear. So orange is always first here, and the tier is turning clockwise. Rose is always first. Five. How do we do this? Here it is. Here's the rose. Five. Four. Five. And six. Rose is first, and it's turning clockwise. But now we have not worked out this interesting thing about the way the petals are drawn. And yellow is properly placed on the left-hand side because the turn seems to be in the clockwise, counterclockwise direction of the natural zodiac. So yellow, yellow, and yellow. There's always going to be one color which shows itself at least three times, and those colors are orange, rose, and yellow. And in this diagram, I think they are properly placed. We still haven't decided why the sacrifice tier is drawn in such a way that it looks like it must have a counterclockwise component to it. Of course, by the time we're working there, we have really reversed the wheel, the first great reversal, and the zodiac is proceeding for us in the normal counterclockwise direction. Okay, friends, because of my jumping cursor, I'm sorry to say, I have to shut the whole thing down. But let's just say that this will be the end of Egoic Lotus webinar commentary program 31. it wants to go where it wants to go, and it's TCF 822, and I believe that is going to be correct for us. Yes, 822. Where it's and then we have the beginning of Egoic Lotus webinar commentary program 32. TCF 822, and the duration of this program is one neat hour and no more. So you understand why I've done that. And we will see you shortly as I try to heal this computer of jumpitis, you know. It'd be too frustrating to work otherwise. We'll talk to you soon, and we'll go down to the second circle and the third circle. Bye-bye.